It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Derwin James, after the contact, comes away with the pick and goes out of bounds. Another one of those Charger first-round picks. Derwin James, who has been battling injuries first part of the year. Mooney couldn't hang on after the hit by Aloe Gilman. And the other safety, James, comes away with the INT.
Welcome back into the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore 2. The Bears lose to the Chargers 30-13. I'm Mark Grody. I have the luxury of a couple of former Bears here, Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz both, and Tyson Bagent tonight. That was one of his two picks, the great Derwin James making the play in that case. Tonight, Tyson Bagent's numbers, 25 of 37, 232 yards. He did have two interceptions on the night. And you know, I thought that the first pick, that was a rough one. Second quarter, it's 14-0 Chargers, so the game is very well in their eyesight still at that point. But he gets picked on a 3rd and 8 on that particular play. So Tyson Bagent had good moments. He had bad moments tonight. And my question for you guys in regards to Tyson Bagent is, or my first question is, did he look like a rookie to you guys, or did he just look like a backup?
He looked like, Pat, to me, especially on that interception to Jasir Taylor, right? The interception you're talking about, Grody, the one that looked bad on that 3rd and 8. He predetermined where he wanted to go with that ball. And then I don't know if there's a miscommunication on the route. It looked like it was Mooney and Moore, or you can't ever really tell what was actually called there, right? But it looked like it was a bad throw by Bagent, but it looked like to me that he put on film what he was. They slowly figured it out. They took it away. They made him do the things he didn't want to do. Even though he hit Mooney on that ball, deep ball, and then Velus either falls down or Bagent underthrows it. But they're going to keep forcing you, Pat, as you know, in this league. When you show you can't do something, or they're going to force you to do what you don't want to do and you have to get good at it. So in that way, he definitely looked like a rookie who put on film what he was against the Raiders. And a good defensive coordinator like Staley takes that away and forces you to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, there were moments, too, that he looked like a backup. You know, that wasn't a terrible game by Tyson Bagent, in my opinion. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't
a pretty
good
way to put it, actually, Pat.
But what we saw last week was pretty amazing. It's pretty impressive, and we've said it. You know, you had a young kid from Shepherd College coming in and winning an NFL game against a 3-3 team, and then, like you said, Olin, you put stuff on tape, and now you're going to get game plan against. What also, too, is what he can do going forward. Now he knows how defenses are going to start to challenge him, try to limit him. And now he's going to have to work on his game at this NFL level. So it's got to go both ways. And overall, it just wasn't terrible. I was hoping this story became something great and grand, right? I wanted this week us talk about he needs to be starting even if Justin Fields is healthy and all that kind of stuff. But he came back to earth. And that's what the smart NFL people were saying, that he's going to get schemed. He's going to get coached up, coached against, and he's going to come down to earth a little bit. And he did. But then there was also some plays where he looked comfortable. He still looks in command of the offense, still looks very comfortable under the center, setting protections and understanding what's going on. There were some times I think he looked a little more confused than he did last week, just because I think Staley did a better job of the game planning him. But overall, my evaluation of him is it wasn't terrible. Is that a good way to put it? I don't know, but that's just the way I look at that entire game.
I love that.
That's your whole part. You know, it's your whole part involved in a 30-13 loss.
Yep.
But to your point, Pat, I mean, to your defense, I mean, there was that 14-play touchdown drive, right, where he executed a bunch of third downs out there, and was impressive on that drive. Looked like he knew where the blitz was coming from. Looked like he knew exactly where he wanted to go with the ball. So to your point, there were flashes again of, right? That's all you think when you watch Bajan sometimes is, there's a little more there than if you just said, nah, this guy is terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's still, to me, it's a no decision on exactly what Tyson Bajan becomes or even is. But for sure, like, to me, it just, and we're going to get to your calls here in just a second, but to me, it just, there was never, despite even the 41-yard bomb to start the game, and that was terrific. That was fantastic. I mean, that was, hey, you could even put that down as a middle finger from Tyson Bajan or from Luke Getsy, like with everybody like saying, you gotta, can this guy throw downfield? And then he, you know, winds up and, you know, rainbows it down to 41 yards to Darnell Mooney. Despite that, I never felt like there's like a danger factor with Bajan. It didn't feel like, once they fell behind, it was like, oh man, I don't think this guy is going to be the type of quarterback in this start, in this circumstance, to bring them back.
Yeah, I felt the game was over. I mean, I'm going back and looking at it. The first series was ugly. Second series, they had, what, three flags in four plays, including one of the punt plays. And then you had the interception. And that's what it's, then they went up 17-0. I'm like, ah. You know, we just, you don't believe in Bajan that you're going to be able to come back and win this game.
It's a tough ask.
Do you believe in Fields could maybe do it? I would maybe, yes. Now I'm thinking about it this way. I don't know. I would have a greater feeling that maybe Fields could bring you back just because he has his legs and dynamic plays that he could do getting out of the pocket. But when Bajan got into that situation, I thought the game was over. But if I'm going to evaluate him, I'm looking forward to watching the tape. I think a Poles and an Eberflus and a Getsy, when they look at him, you know, Matt Spiegel had what, the QB2 party last week? I think that's what you would love to have, right? You would love if he turns into a good second or backup quarterback. I think the greatest thing that could happen, Justin Fields comes back, proves he's your franchise quarterback, and then you have a young guy, Tyson Bajan, that could be your number two quarterback. Yeah. That, to me, would answer all the questions and get me excited for the Bears' future.
Olin, what do you think
If I was taking my shovel out and I was digging for positives, right? It would be that 14 play drive after the interception, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you throw an interception, you expect someone to go into the tank a little bit and maybe not want to throw the ball anymore and be afraid to throw it out there, but he didn't. He came right back. He drove the field down and drove the offense down there and they scored a touchdown, right? So if you're looking for positives, that would be it, right? That would be what you're looking for there. Out of Tyson Bajan to pick himself up off the mat. And then, you know, they score on that Darrington Evans sweep, right, behind Darnell Wright leading him into the end zone. So that was a good drive. That was maybe the highlight of the whole day for the offense, right? There was nothing else more that went on. So in Chicago here, the Chicago Bears in Illinois, we continue to look for a quarterback, a spark on offense. We go against these good teams, and we just look outmatched. And that's not only the quarterback, and we know that with Justin Fields also, that it's not just him.
Yeah, that's true. All in really quick, in Pat's question, what he's throwing out there, what would be ideal, Justin Fields, the starter, Tyson Bajan, the backup, where are you on Justin Fields now? Do you still think it's possible that Justin Fields is the future of the Chicago Bears?
You know, it's just, we talked about this in the pregame show, and I said earlier that I'd like them to stick with Bajan just because I don't think Getsy's going to change his scheme to fit what Justin Fields does best, right? And my example I gave was the second play of the Minnesota game. He runs a zone read out of a spread offense, something he probably ran at Ohio State, and he gained 13 yards, and we never saw it again, right? So we talked about the sweep to Trent Taylor. Even the Wildcat, right, to Deontay Foreman, where Lucas Patrick had a holding call and they're faking a reverse. They got Deontay Foreman running Wildcat, one-handing fake a reverse. It's just something in me just says why sometimes, right? Why are we doing this? And it's just, I don't know, Mark, to your question is, if that's the offense you're going to run, if it's going to be a quarterback in the pocket, if you're going to go to empty, if it's going to be play action, if we're going to sit in the pocket all day, then you might as well stick with Bajan, because I don't think we've – I think we've seen enough of Justin Fields to know that he won't excel in that kind of offense.
Yeah, it's true. This is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. The Bears lose to the Chargers 30-13. Mark Grody, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley with you. And let's get back to you with your calls at 312-644-6767. We start it back up with Cornell in Chicago. Hello, Cornell. You're on the Score. Okay, we've lost Cornell. We're going to Ray in Orland Park. Hello, Ray. You're on the Score.
Hey, Mark. Guys, good to talk to you. So I think of three things I want to take away from this game. One, officially the Bears are a get-well game for other teams.
Totally.
The Vikings.
For Herbert, man. He was get-well. They were talking about it. Like, Herbert, boy, he's been out of sorts lately, but he just had one of his most dominant halves all year.
And then also, where was this Khalil Mack when he was with the Bears? He had the one, like, debut game that he kind of just was average at best. He was a monster today. Boy, we would have loved that in Chicago, where maybe still be here. But the reason I called was because of Bayless Jones. You guys kind of talked about it earlier, but why is he still on the team? Rarely do you watch football and say, I could have done that, and I could have caught that pass. I could have not touched the returner. Why is he still on this team?
Yep. Okay. Thanks for the call. And just to for people who are just joining us, Bayless Jones Jr. slipped and fell wide open in the end zone on a ball that would have or very well could have been a touchdown. He also had a fair catch interference tonight, which is just sloppy. So I don't know, guys, and Pat, I'll start with you. I don't know if there's anything else that you can add to Bayless Jones that we didn't discuss before, but the caller pretty irate that Bayless Jones still on this roster.
Yeah, I just with the way he's playing on the offense and then making those penalties, is it time to put Tyler Scott back there at kick returner?
You know, they had him there. Did some of that
and then you could open up another roster spot or find somebody else to fill in as a gunner. I think he's on the outside on kickoff. on the kickoff team, he's obviously the returner. But, you know, if he's not producing as a wide receiver, then you can use Tyler Scott as your returner and a wide receiver and then find somebody else in the coverage positions. Is that something maybe they'll be talking about and maybe they change? But he's just not producing enough for me right now for what we were sold and what he was expected to be.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We were sold he was a dynamic football player. That's why you take him in the third round of the 2022 draft, right? That's why you take a guy who is a returner and kind of a gadget player kind of guy, that he's going to be dynamic, that his speed is going to make a difference in a game somewhere. We haven't seen it yet. You know, I'll say, too, that Bajan, I thought, underthrew that ball, but Vela still has to come up with it. He can't slip. The ball still hit him in the hands, hit him in the stomach, hit him off the leg, and then fell on the turf. So he had a few chances to catch that ball. We need that play at that moment. Now, they do score on that drive anyway, right? They come up with 7 points. That is their drive. They convert that next 3rd and 8 right away to Cole Kmet. So they do score on that drive. But as far, if we're just talking about the player, you know, the answer to Ray's question is, he's still on a team. He still gets a jersey on Sunday because he's a third-round pick, right? And they got to see, give him every chance to make the play. And his speed is enticing when he gets the ball in his hands, but he just has not done it enough. And like you guys pointed out, there always seems to be some kind of miscue when he's around the ball.
Yeah, no, it's always something. Let's go to Pedro in Des Plaines. Pedro, you're on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew.
Hello, gentlemen. How's your night going?
As well as
could
we
be
can.
Better, Pedro.
Could be better.
Could be a lot better. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I watched the first half and I noticed that DJ never got the ball. He only got 3 targets the entire first half, and I think it's a major problem, especially when you're trying to set up a young quarterback, especially like in a second start from a D2 team, and they never really like let Dante Foreman, you know, run the ball, especially, you know, when he had the hot hand. I don't know what your guys' thoughts on that.
Gentlemen, did they, again, I mean, it seems like this happens every, you know, second game or so, that DJ Moore gets left out of the party.
I don't understand.
People taking him away, right?
Yep.
People
yep.
taking him away. And but to our earlier point, right, if you're going to run a jet sweep, run it to him. Mm-hmm. Right, give him a wide receiver screen. They popped the ball out to him in the first half, and I think he got 7 or 8 yards. He's just you know, you heard Chris Collinsworth say, like, you didn't realize how strong this guy was. We got to find a way, whether it's in a slot, get him in motion. We got to find a way to get him the ball. And Bajan said when he came in, like, I'm going to force feed more of the ball. If I ever see him one-on-one, I'm throwing it to him. My question to Bajan then is, what happened tonight? Mm-hmm. Right? What happened tonight? What did you see tonight? Right? Like, while you're winning these press conferences, saying the thing everybody wants to hear you say. Now we got to see you do the things you're saying at the press, at the podium.
Yeah, and then my other thing is just, you know, the first 15 or whatever, first 20 plays, scheme him. You know, scheme him to get the ball. You know, I don't know what that would be, but you can do that. Like you said, the end of round, whatever. Just find a way to scheme plays that you work all week to say, this is how we're going to get the ball in DJ Moore's hand early. And that needs to be done. And we've seen them have success doing that. And then he ends up going off and having a good game. But he's your best player on offense. Your job, Luke Getsy, is to get him the ball. Figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, 4 catches, 55 yards tonight for DJ Moore. Just looking at a few other numbers as far as the Bears receivers are concerned. Cole Kmet, who it seemed like, well, obviously Tyson Bagent was leaning on him and using him well, quite frankly. Cole Kmet, 10 catches for 79 yards in the game. And it, you know, Darnell Mooney makes that catch to begin the game tonight, 41-yard bomb that looked, hey, man, this could be Darnell Mooney's big night, and he did not have another catch after that tonight. One catch for 41 yards for Darnell Mooney, and that's just kind of a shame to me, Pat.
Go back to Cole Kmet. Were you guys, when they blew the whistle early on him, he looked like he was breaking out of the tackle. Would you think that was legit, or do you think that was an early whistle?
I think it was legit.
I think the whistle now stopped them from tackling him, right? I think the whistle, I thought they had him wrapped up. I thought it was kind of an early whistle, but I think the guys tackling him also stopped because of the early whistle.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they initially, it was definitely pointed out in the broadcast, but they didn't put up much of a fight after that. 312-644-6767. Bears lose to the Chargers 30-13. We go now to Tom in DeKalb. Tom, you're on the score.
Tom. Hi, guys. Yeah.
Hi, Tom.
Thanks. Listen, you know, my thought about the coaching staff, I mean, I don't think Eberflus is an NFL head coach, but that's not really the reason for my call. Tonight, they got beat on the offensive line, and they got beat on the defensive line. And they're going to have some, you know, big draft picks, some high ones next year, and everyone's going to want a quarterback. I wouldn't do that. You need to get a center, first of all. Like Olin would be terrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, their offensive line needs someone right up the middle who can play the position. You know, Whitehair can't snap it. Patrick can't play it. And it really, really hurts their offense. And then on defense, of course, they can't rush the passer. So at any rate, that's my thought.
Tom, have a wonderful day. I'm going right to you on center. Mm-hmm. Lucas Patrick, he did have back-to-back penalties at one point in this game. He was questionable going in. He did, you know, to his credit, he started. I think he played the whole game out there. You know, obviously dealing with something as far as his back is concerned. But what do you have to say about Lucas Patrick and the future of the position? Doug Kramer, you know, what's he got? And is that realistic, you know, in the future that Kramer could be the Bears center?
Well, as far as Doug Kramer goes, we'd have to see him in the regular season, right, against NFL starter-type players. We've only seen him in the preseason. It's hard to really – what I saw in the preseason, I will say this, you do want to see him in a regular season game, right, and see what he has and see what he brings to the table. As far as Lucas Patrick, I think they're paying him $4 million a year, right? I think Travis Kelce is the number one paid center in the world right now. He makes $16 million a year. I think he plays right about what you paid him. So you get what you pay for in life. And a thing about Lucas Patrick is he an all-pro? Is he a Pro Bowl type? No. but he's probably giving you what about you're asking from him there. They have to keep developing a Darnell Wright, a Tevin Jenkins. The first round picks have to develop, Pat, into all pro, Pro Bowl type players, right? I was a third round pick. You got Cody Whitehair. You got Braxton Jones hopefully coming back. But yes, to his point, to the caller's point, would I like to see more assets in the offensive line? Anybody who's listened to me on the radio over the last how long I've been on the radio, I've asked for those assets to be put in that, those two lines for a long time now. The defensive line today, Pat, Herbert, way too comfortable. I think on one of the touchdowns, he had about 4.5 seconds for the guy to work across the field against Jalen Johnson and score the touchdown.
You know, that D-line, it amazes me. I find myself sometimes during the game just laughing at the screen because of how much time the quarterback has and how big the pocket is. Like, the pocket's not collapsing. It amazes me that nobody can just randomly win a one-on-one. Nobody's beat an O-lineman. I guess it was last week they beat the running back, but nobody's beat an O-lineman one-on-one for a clean sack. And it feels like it's been going on since last year as well. But I will say this, looking at the running stats there, you know, they held them to 2.2 yards per carry. But, yes, they were throwing everything. They didn't really need to run the ball today. But run-wise, they're playing pretty good. You got to give them credit there. But it amazes me that they cannot get to the quarterback at all. I mean, and Ngakoue, you know, they talked about that stat of having 8 sacks for 8 years or whatever. He can't sniff it. Nobody's sniffing the quarterback. And it just it's amazing. It's just really amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's tongue time, right?
It is. That's just how somebody can't just win. Like, a guy can't even fall down and you beat him. Like, it doesn't happen. And you just, I find it almost funny. I find myself laughing at the TV screen. Like, this is just, those are NFL defensive linemen who can't get a single pressure on the quarterback.
And guess what? Somebody paid the price tonight, guys. Dominique Robinson, in his second year in the NFL, you know, project guy, switched from offense to defense. He was not active tonight. He was inactive. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And they decided to go with Khalid Kareem. And this brings me to my next question here. Actually, I have to take a break. We'll talk about a huge miss by Khalid Kareem in this game. And really the question is whether or not I'm allowed to get mad that a defensive player did not make an interception. I will ask that question to Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz when we return on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Your calls as well. I see you guys, 312-644-6767. We are talking about a Bears loss. The Bears fall to 2-6 on the season. Chargers 30, Bears 13. More coming up on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
First run, Austin Ekeler not going to go anywhere as Justin Jones came off the line.
Did not come back, and it's a loss on first down for the Chargers.
And that's exactly what this Bears defense needs. They allowed more yards in that first half than they allowed in either of the last two full games. So that gives you some idea of what the Chargers have been doing to them. Now they're getting a little bit of penetration, get up the field. There has to be some negative plays created by this defensive front of the Bears to get them back in the game.
It didn't last. It didn't take. Ultimately, too little, too late. Any of that would apply to Justin Jones's tackle for loss, a TFL on Austin Ekeler, third quarter. I mean, you do feel a little rejuvenated. It was the Bears, really their last stand in the game because they were down by so much. So it was absolutely essential that people came up with big time defensive plays. Justin Jones did, but it obviously did not last, and the Bears lose to the Chargers 30-13. Nonetheless, Justin Jones, that play, that's our hit of the game, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. I'm Mark Grody, along with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz, talking about this Bears 30-13 loss to the Chargers. We're going to get to your calls here in a second at 312-644-6767. But let me ask the question to you guys that I was going to ask as we headed into the break. And that is, it just crushed me when Khalid Kareem did not come up with the interception in the second quarter when it was 14-0 Chargers. Guys, am I allowed to be angry that a defensive player did not make an interception in the game, especially one that hadn't been playing previously?
Yes. I mean, that's his job. He's an NFL player. I know he's a D lineman, but he's an athlete. He can catch the ball. You know, which you always learn, if you can touch it, you can catch it. If it hits your hand, you can catch it. But that's a game, that's a play that, you know, better players would make, right? And then you change the game. You change the momentum of the game. That's 3 points they give up there on a field goal, but then you get decent field position. Then you have a chance to maybe make it a 7-point game, but then now it's 17-0 and you don't get the ball. You got to wait for the kickoff and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'd expect him to make the play. It hit him in the hands. Gotcha. I mean, basically hit him in the chest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They dropped him right into that hook area on that zone blitz we all know, right, Pat? Yep. They brought Kyler Gordon off the edge. They moved to what they call Cub, right, which is like baby bear. Bear is when they cover all the linemen up, and they're bringing Kyler Gordon off the edge, and they fool the quarterback there. They fool Herbert and drop the defensive end, like you're talking about, Grody, into the hook area right where Herbert threw the ball, and a beautiful design by Coach Eberflus. And you would hope that Khalid Kareem would make that play, but let's be honest, right? Who is this Khalid Kareem, and why does he have a jersey and he's making league minimum? Yep. Okay, so if that just talks to the assets being spent into that offense, that defensive and the lines, the trenches. We got to get playmakers in there, guys who can make plays, guys who can change the game. Because to Pat talked about earlier, against the run, I questioned the run openly with Brisker not playing. I thought it was going to be a problem. It showed up more safeties. It showed up more in tackling, right? Showed up more on screens. It showed up more when the big tight end, Parham, caught the ball 6'8", running through Tyreek Stevenson for touchdowns. Yeah. But look, when you're watching this D-line, you're looking for someone who's going to get the sack fumble, who's going to catch the interception, who's going to do the things that has to be done to change the game, and they're just not there right now. So, yes, I mean, he's probably more disappointed than anybody, sure. Grody, because that's how you make more money, is you make those plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You stay active on Sundays when you make those plays. Man, Pat, Olin just mentioned the 6'8 guy, Donald Parham Jr. That guy, man, he was a load. Like, that's
looks like a cheat code. Like, he built him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got this massive, giant arm goes
and
out.
And that just shows you how good Herbert is, too, and how accurate it is. You know, he looked covered, right? But he puts it out where only he can catch it. And that's an elite quarterback. Yes. An elite quarterback does that. You got to give the guy credit for making the play, and that's a tough play. I think Tariq Stevenson was on him on that one. And, you know, that's an elite quarterback getting your guy open. You know what I mean? And using what you got. He was an impressive human.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's
and
a great
And here's
point.
My problem, guys, right, Mark? Like, here's my problem when we talk about all of that, right? Like, he's playing mostly because Gerald Everett is out, right? Yeah. And we're talking about the guys that are out for the Chicago Bears, right? Whether it be Eddie Jackson and Brisker, and what would that secondary look like if those two guys were there? Well, the Chargers would counter me and say, what if Mike Williams and Gerald Everett and guys like this were playing? How then would the Bears look against them? And then that's where you start to wonder, where does this team actually match up against the top-tier offenses in the league? And you have to always go back to in the trenches and the fact that you cannot let a quarterback sit in the pocket in today's NFL.
Yeah, and he was, you know, Justin Herbert had a terrific night, 31 of 40, 298 yards, 3 touchdowns. A caller hit on it earlier. It was the same thing that I was thinking. The Bears are providing this comfort for teams where they allow them to get well. You know, they've been talking, you know, some of the theme coming in even tonight. You heard them talking about how Justin Herbert hasn't looked as dominant, I should say, in the last couple of weeks, you know, relative to everybody else that might be fine, but he finally got himself back in order. Let's get back to your calls here. 312-644-6767. Alex is in Lakeview. Hi, Alex. Thanks for waiting, man. You're on the Score. Oh, Alex didn't wait, as it turns out.
You got tired.
Well, I understand. That gives me a chance to ask you guys. We're talking about the defense here and all the penalties and the lack of execution. I assume that this is not – I mean, I understand Matt Eberflus is the defensive coordinator, but he didn't call a bad game tonight, did he? Or do you guys like what he did in terms of how he used the defense tonight against the Chargers?
I thought they scored 30 points. You know what I mean? I think it's a bad game. I think it's a bad game in that defense. Now, look, does he have all the pieces he needs? No. But if you can take the credit, when you hold teams under 20, then you got to take the blame when they put all those points on the board. And I don't know what would be interesting. Now, I have not seen a chart yet, but I don't know how far the ball actually traveled in the air tonight, Pat, right? I don't know, like, where they were almost all checkdowns, yep. Their big passes, yep. Right? They were almost all, like, they broke tackles, there were screens, and they got out and ran. And to me, you can make the right calls, but then your defense has to tackle, right? And what are you working on in practice? And we talked about earlier when he talked about this week, there's no house guest on his defense. So that's a guy taking the credit again, right? Taking the credit, saying, look, that's what we teach. We teach tackling. We teach get to the ball. We teach getting the ball out. Well, then this game comes up out of nowhere where they're checking everything down and no one's tackling, right? So who do you hold accountable for that, Mark?
That's a great point. It's true. I'm just swiping through my notes here. It's check down, screen, dump pass, check down, screen. And that's a team, when they're getting all those extra yards, you've got to play with effort. You've got to rally to the ball. And you should have known that, knowing you have an Austin Ekeler, that type of running back there, and they're going to try to do that and use him to do that. And it just didn't seem, when you talked about it earlier, Olin, they just weren't flying to the ball like we've seen a couple of these other games, about the past three games. I don't know why, but that hurt them. And that's going to show up a lot on the effort and the hits principle. They're not with the hustle there, getting to the ball. And it didn't look like they were flying around a lot. And when you have a game like that, like you're talking about the screens, the dump passes, the checkdowns, that's where you really got to rally the ball. And that hurt the Bears today.
With that,
yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more when I watched that game. Sorry, Mark.
No, it's all good. It's all good. We are in three different places tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes that's going to happen. Let's go to Justin in Rockford. Hello, Justin. You are on the Score.
Hey, guys. So I just really kind of going into this year, I feel like I was pretty optimistic just with investing that first-round pick in the offensive line with Darnell Wright. And is it just me, or am I just seeing Cody Whitehair, like, regress really fast? I just kind of want to get Olin, your opinion on that. And then lastly, you know, I think growing up, you guys, Pat, Olin, you guys were like models of consistency and toughness. And until we get a little bit more of that back in the building, I think we're going to continue to struggle. So thanks for the call, guys. Have a great rest of your night.
Thank you.
Olin, what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah. Cody Whitehair.
You know, on Cody Whitehair, yeah. I was just looking up, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what year is this for Cody? How old is he? I think he's 31, right? He'll be 32 this year. I don't know if you can expect him anymore to be your elite lineman, right, Pat?
Yep.
I think his value comes as a veteran in the building, showing young guys how to prepare every week, showing guys how to get ready, being capable of playing one or two different positions, which is hard for him now because can he play center? Right? Can he play center anymore? So these are the times in your career, Pat. I was an offensive lineman. I turned 32. This is when you're not as physical as you once was, right? And people do start to question about you. And I did see him peeling himself off the ground a couple times tonight. But that's where he is in his career, right? And it goes to the bigger point of the caller said he liked them drafting Darnell Wright, right? That when an older guy is looking good, are playing well, the younger Lions are coming up, Pat, and they're getting better, yep. And they become the all-pro, Pro Bowl type. And I went through this in my career, Pat, as you know. No. I never really had that late in my career, right? Yep. Never really had an all-pro, Pro Bowl type player come along. So everyone keeps expecting you to be the guy, and you're not really in your prime anymore, and it looks like that's where Cody may be right about now. Still a decent lineman, but don't expect him. Like, remember now, guys, the guys who ran him over tonight is on a $120 million contract playing defensive end.
Yeah, I don't see the consistency. And I think that's what happened when guys get older. Little things start breaking down, a little bit of strength, just all that kind of stuff just starts slipping a little bit. And he's just not consistent. I thought last week he had a good game. Going into that game, he was kind of up and down. I think that's just where he is. And like you said, Olin, you see older guys, and it's tough, man. The body starts breaking down. You start slowing down a little bit. You're going against somebody who's a little bit younger and faster, and the consistency's not there. And I think that's just what the problem is. And he's putting together a nice career for the Bears, right? He's put together a very good career. But he's just getting older. And Father Time's undefeated. People always talk about it. I'm not saying it's time for him to move out of the building or move out of football. But that's just what happens. That's what happens when you get older. You just can't maintain that high level your entire career. And you just start slipping a little bit. And I just don't see the consistency that we saw in the past with him.
And then I just want to point this out real fast, Mark, because I think it's important for everyone to understand the whole picture when you start talking about one guy and focusing, because he did have that bad game snapping at center. Guys get run over by Joey Bosa, right? Like, that just happens in this league. Trust me. Turn the film on every week. Joey Bosa's running somebody over. I just want to say this now. The backup left tackle is playing next to him, okay? We talked about the limitations Lucas Patrick brings in at center. So now you're a left guard, aging left guard. Your left tackle's not there. Your center's limited, but everybody's saying you're playing bad, right? The offensive line is the sum of its parts. So I think you have to look at this with clear eyes. You start talking about who to clear out, who to replace. Mm-hmm. Why is this guy playing bad? Some of it has to do with that, right, Pat? Justin Fields is out. They got a quarterback in there. Their running back, Khalil Herbert, is out, right? Yep. You got one guy in there playing the spot that he's been playing and trying to get all these pieces to work together. You got to look at the big picture.
That's a great point.
Yeah, no, that is very well put. Like, I'm putting myself in Cody Whitehair's shoes after listening to everything that you guys just said, and Cody Whitehair has just got to be like, come on, guy, you guys got to help me out here a little bit. You guys are killing me, man, just a little bit. And you know, he wouldn't be as exposed as he has been. We got to take a break here on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. When we return, I see you guys, a couple people still wanting to get in. We'll try to get through those calls quickly. We will also do our hot and cold of the game as well. It's coming up. Bears lose. We're talking about it right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mark Rohde in for Mully tonight. Mully will be doing the Mully Show, the Mully and Haw Show, from 5:30 until 10 a.m. talking Bears. Man, we got you covered, because we're going to be here, me and Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. We're with you tonight until midnight, so we're just a few more minutes. But right after us, Mike Esposito will take you through the overnight. So if you want to get in right now, you want to get it off your chest, line it up, 312-644-6767. We've got our Who's Hot and Who's Cold now, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Bears lose to the Chargers 30-13. Who's your hot and cold for the night? Olin Krutz, I'll start with you.
My hot is Darnell Wright. I really like the way that young man is playing. Obviously, he didn't make every block tonight, but he fought through something, played hard. Was the natural role grader he was. I thought he won some pass protection. And then my cold was Elijah Hicks. I thought he had a tough night tonight. Tackling, covering, and just, you know, had to obviously he's the backup safety, but when you get your chance, you want to see guys make plays. And I didn't think he had a great night tonight.
Patrick.
Yeah, I got Cole Kmet, just 10 receptions. Just, you know, being active in the passing game, trying to help Tyson Bagent out with all the checkdowns. Would be my hot, and then my cold is Tyrique Stevenson. I thought he really struggled today, and they took advantage of him. They targeted him early and often, had a couple penalties as well, and kind of had a rough rookie night for himself. And I was hoping to see him step up a little bit, but it was a big challenge, and the Chargers got him.
You and I are definitely together on Cole Kmet, 10 catches, 79 yards. He was very good. I like that connection between those two. My cold is, and we've talked about him a couple times already tonight, Velus Jones Jr., the slipping and falling in the end zone, the fair catch interference. That's my cold for the night in this Bears loss. Oh, man, seriously? Wow. I was just getting ready to take another call. Well, John, make that Justin and John and Alan, you guys hang in there. Because like I said, Mike Esposito is right around the corner. He's going to go, if you let him, he'll go wall-to-wall calls from midnight until 5:30 when Mully and Haw roll in here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This has been the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley, you guys are the best. Love working with you guys as always.
It's always fun work. Yeah, Grody, love it. Too bad we didn't get a win, and all that hope is gone.
Yeah, the hope is gone for now. For now. We'll see what the Bears do next week when they are actually at New Orleans, then home versus Carolina, at Detroit, at Minnesota, and that takes us all the way up to the bye for the Bears at that point. Another thank you to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit aureliospizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it is the sauce. More Bears coming up with Mike Esposito on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thank you to Sean Sears for producing the show as well. I am Mark Grody, and you know I'll be talking to you tomorrow on The Score.